Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at-Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we are really, really excited and very pleased to be able to bring you this broadcasting tonight. Wow, it's been a week since, actually 2 weeks, I think, since we last spoke with you. And what I can say is that a lot has happened since we did our last broadcast. I just arrived last evening from Benin, Africa. And for those who were kind of aware of some of the things we've been working on, we're going to give you a full report tonight on some of what we've been able to accomplish. A lot has, in fact, been accomplished. And again, we are so pleased that, this has happened. A little later on, we're going to bring on one of our sisters, Sister Wanda Dickerson, who is also one of our arts and culture development coordinators. Sister Wanda Dickerson is also the founder or co-founder, she and her husband found together, let me put it that way, of the world-renowned Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble. Now, for those who have never seen or heard of them, I advise you to go ahead and Google them, and I think you will be overwhelmingly pleased with what you see. They've been working for roughly 30-plus years in our communities here in Philadelphia and also in New Jersey in particular, but they have traveled worldwide, again, as I said, to not only promote the art and cultures of Africa throughout the diaspora, but also to be certain to help our youth. And, it is so important that while we often talk about some of the problems that we find with our youth, well, we do not hear often the types of solutions that we need to hear. Well, the Dickerson family, the Unity community has, of course, been providing that type of intervention and upliftment for many, many years now, and have really demonstrated how it can be done to not only allow our youth to be as determined as they oftentimes are and demonstrate that they are, but how to do that in some of the most positive ways. And so, again, a little later on, we're going to talk with Sister Wanda Dickerson, and she's going to help me tonight to give you the update on what happened in Benin, Africa. This past week or so, we were there for roughly a week and a half or thereabouts. I'm going to just start by saying that it has been really some time since, or we've been doing this for some time, shall I say, and bringing forth the original vision and the original concept of the Million Woman March. While some, again, just thought that it was just an event, there were some, of course, who knew that it was much, much more, that it was envisioned to be much, much more. And while many have oftentimes said that they thought of doing it or thought of, what they wanted to do and participating in it, the fact of the matter is that there was a very unique strategy developed for it. So while some say they wanted to do it, a strategy was developed by one person in order to make it happen. And that strategy included a very protracted type of operation. So now we're going to kind of begin to unveil and reveal some of what that really entailed, because it was never about a one-day event. It was never about becoming so connected to the system that we continue to perpetuate the type of madness that we have all been shall I say, subjected to. It was really about putting some things in place that would continue the type of movements and the support for movements and actions and programs and projects. This is what the Men and Women March was about and is about. It was never to be business as usual, nor was it to perpetuate this system in such a way that it encourages people to hang on to it as if it was what they wanted us to think it was, which was something in our best interest. And so we are now prepared to really give more insight and information about who and what we really are, why the vision was in fact given in the way that it was, and why it was so necessary not to deter from that vision and that mission. And we have not in 15 years. Next year, for the 16-year anniversary of the Million Women March, for the year 2013, we will be declaring the year of the Black girl, the year of the African girl in North America. And in as such, we'll begin to provide the types of things that is so necessary for our young girls today, in addition to our women, and certainly in general for our families and communities at large. Going to Benin, Africa was, in fact, a great experience. It really gave clearer insight into some things that were already known and understood, but it really helped to put some of the necessary pieces in place that needed to happen for now. When we bring Sister Wanda on, again, we're going to share with you some of what we were able to accomplish during our time there, and we did indeed accomplish a lot, including the Benin government agreeing to host the first pre-planning sessions for some of the Million Women March Universal Movement projects. They have agreed to not only support it full force, but to accommodate what it is that we have indicated we needed and wish to do. And they have done so lovingly and with open arms. We're going to hold in Benin, Africa, the official Million Women March, the original Million Women March will hold in Benin, Africa from December the 1st through the 9th, with the primary focuses being on the 1st and from the 1st through the 7th. There are going to be special sessions that will focus on reports from the 1995 Beijing Conference that took place in Beijing, China, which was, of course, one of the important UN world sessions for women. Of course, overall, there have been 53 sessions dealing with the status of women. And, of course, this was for all countries, for all women. But this particular report session, review, and also other types of proposals to be submitted is specifically for women of African descent, for women throughout the diaspora. This will be their time to present specifically in regard to their specific interests, concerns, the things that have been brought forward from the Beijing Conference, the things that are in effect at this point, the things that have already occurred. We want to hear what they were. We want to get some insight into what types of things were in fact successful, what types of things need to be proposed further, what types of things can be collaborated on now in every realm of reality, be it financial, education, health, and so forth and so on. So this is, to my knowledge, the first official session specifically for women of African descent to provide information and updates from the Beijing Conference and from other subsequent sessions on women that have been held at the UN and in other locations in regards to this matter. What we've began to realize in these past couple of years is that there are many things that happen on international levels, but our sisters on the grassroots level and thereabouts do not get access to that information.
Most of the information is kept in circles that is not readily accessible to the masses of our people. So it's not just our women, but also our men. There's a lot of things going on in various circles that many will never know about, even though it's not secret information, and much of it is, in fact, the majority of it is public information. But because there's a breakdown in communications, the reality is that we don't get it, meaning the masses of our people in our communities nationwide, worldwide, do not get the information about discussions, about programs, about, you know, policies and so forth. So this upcoming activity is geared to begin to assure that better mechanisms are put in place in order to make certain that those things that are being talked about in regards to our well-being as a people has to also be given clearly to the people. And so the MWM organization, and in building its entire nation, that's exactly what I said, is making certain that we are responsible in doing the things that were mandated, that were said we would do in our initial introduction, but also that we knew was a part of our mission. So, with that said, that will be some of what will be taking place this December from the 1st to the 7th in particular, and then the 8th and 9th, there are also two other special sessions. One of the special sessions is going to entail a arts culture, and which will include, of course, music, etc. That's going to be a extravaganza presentation. And then another one is going to be on the 9th, a international human rights, it's called African Reconciliation and Human Rights Concert. That's going to take place on December the 9th. And it is projected to take place at what is known in Benin, Africa, as the Door of No Return, which is a monument that has been erected to represent where our ancestors were taken and then, of course, shipped out. And so in recognition of that, in memory of that, and in making our statement that, yes, it was, in fact, the door of no return, but here we come returning nevertheless. This concert is going to be aired globally. The Benin government has agreed to make certain that it is covered via television, cable television, as well as radio. And then we expect that it will be picked up also in other areas. So these are just some of the things that have, in fact, been accomplished during this last 7 to 9 days or so. And we can tell you that also myself and Sister Wanda Dickerson have been awarded full citizenship of Benin. So we are very excited because this has opened the door for all of our brothers and sisters who are interested in really taking a major role in our homeland, you know, not to be just tourists, not to be just taking people to look at the various monuments or the various, other kinds of things that people tend to go do and see. No, for those Africans who recognize and appreciate our heritage, our culture, our destinies, our victories, well, those Africans will, in fact, have a place in Benin. And this is just one location that we plan to establish our village in our society. So we will keep you posted on the further developments, but also to let you know that one of the projects that has been slated for Benin, of course, is a women's center so that we can help train some of the women there in ways that will not only generate economics or revenue, but that will also secure the ability for forward motion. So with that said, we have already been talking with a few people here in the States, because it is our intention to sponsor a couple of sisters. We've already looked into one sister who we're talking with that we plan to possibly send for 2 to 3 months to teach the sisters who will be joining our sisterhood in Benin, to teach them English and math. So we've already began the discussion, even though we've just been back into the States for roughly 24 hours now. Nevertheless, we have already began to establish dialogue here in the States to have a sister go to Benin to spend approximately 2 to 3 months to teach English and math. We also are working on having a sister to go over and help to further instruct in sewing, because we will be establishing a garment factory, and even something a little more advanced, which I can't go into at the moment, but I can tell you at this point that we will be having our own clothing line of African fabrics, and that also will be one of the presentations in Benin in December. There will be a fashion, accessory, and natural hair showcase, and we're going to tell you more about that tonight as well. So there's really a lot to share with you, family, because we are so blessed. We feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to do what we've done in these past in this past week or so, and to know that this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning, and what a great beginning. So that just kind of gives you an overview of some of what we were able to accomplish. We're certainly going to share more with you for tonight's radio program, because that's what this show is indeed about. Needless to say, the issue of violence and abuse, of course, was also raised while we were there in Benin. We made it very clear that that was a position that we would be really talking about and dealing with, along with, of course, reconciliation, African reconciliation. And needless to say, other topics that include reparations and so forth and so on. So, again, we are so looking forward to what we call this African Journey 2012, which, again, is a part of a 5-year action plan. And, again, we're going to tell you more about that. But for right now, we want to share a little bit of this with you. In the background is, as we indicated, the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble. Call of the drums, then you know something is getting ready to go down, and it is indeed getting ready to do that. In a few moments, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to one of the co-founders of the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble, a sister who I had the pleasure to share this particular journey with, and this is her in the background.
We are just here to participate in Redeemer, you know, collective work and responsibility. We're just trying to teach the children that it's about them, they are the future, and this is an honor to be here.
That was a little son, Sister Wanda Dickerson, who we're going to be bringing on live in a few moments. But we just want you to hear a little bit about just a little smidgen of what the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble has been doing for quite some time now. And I say this because this is one of the groups. This is some of the representation that will be coming from the U.S. When we go to Benin for this historic human rights concert, we encourage you, the groups that you may be involved with or may know, hey, groups from all over the diaspora will be joining us at this concert. Well, that gives you a general idea of what is getting ready to happen with the Universal Million Woman Movement and some of what we're getting ready to bring forward to not only help to unify our people to a greater extent here in North America, but of course globally. And one of the wonderful things about this project is that it is the sisters who really have been given this gift to bring forward all of our people. Well, without further ado, what we're going to do is go to our live line. And joining us now, I believe we do have Sister Wanda Dickerson on our live line. And what we're going to do is talk about our African journey to Benin, which is, again, just one of the first locations that we will begin to establish the next step work and operations for the Million Woman March and its Universal Movement. So we're going to hear a little bit more of the drum, and then we're going to bring Sister Wanda on. All right. And it just so happened that the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble had several performances today. What you heard, of course, was from a tape from one of the presentations that was done a few years ago, but we're sharing that with you just to give you a little taste. If you haven't seen them, you really must. Summer is happening. Ogunde is next week. They'll be there. We'll be there. If you want more information about what we're going to talk about tonight, some of that will be available, and we'll give you just so much more. So, again, I'm going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk with Sister Wanda Dickerson, who helped in representing us in Benin, Africa. She was our arts and craft, arts and culture development coordinator, and representing for our upcoming December activity. And as I said, is one of the groups that we certainly will have with us at this historical gathering. Sister Wanda, are you there?
Yes, peace, Empress. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We're still running on African time, right?
You know,
wow.
That's right.
Talk about energy. Wow. Well. We're just settling down from, you know, performing four times today. As you had mentioned earlier, we performed at the Please Touch Museum for a pre-celebration of Odun Day, you know, to get people ready for Odun Day. So we did two performances there. Then we went to the Northeast and did a performance, and then came back to West Philadelphia and did a performance there. So
wow.
Yeah, you know, we just doing what we do. On a daily basis.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're going to talk about our trip.
Okay.
So I mean, just, you know, whatever you'd like to share with our family listening audience. I mean, it's so much, but, you know, again, whatever you feel that you would like to convey at this point in time, by all means, please feel free to do so.
Yes, ma'am. First, I'd like to just say thank you to you, you know, for the opportunity as a woman, as a female, to be a part, you know, of your discovery and, you know, your works of the Million Women March, and for just bringing me along to coordinate, help you to coordinate with you to make your dream of the women of the diaspora of African descent to, you know, look into their issues and their values of how they see the world. And the experience in Benin for, you know, myself, it was awesome. You know, it was just wow, you know, kind of like breathtaking. And to, like, visit kings and then to actually have one of the kings apologize to us for the slave trade and the suffering that we had to go through for that, to us, for us to accept his apology was awesome.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It's
because
awesome.
You could really see that it wasn't some game or some, you know, stage thing. It was truly heartfelt. It was, you know, you could feel the sincerity of it and
yes.
the depth of it. And it was just incredible.
Yes, ma'am. And then when we went into the village and actually had opportunity to speak with some of the women, you know, just to find out some of their issues, you know, and mainly to hear them talk about health and, you know, and illiteracy of not being able to, you know, learn the English language or just illiteracy, period, you know, in that manner. It's like, you know, we have so much to be thankful for and grateful for here in America as African descendants from our ancestors, you know, travel and their slavery and their struggles, that what they left us with. If we don't go and help our sisters around the world, African descent, then we'll be chastised for that.
Ain't no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Mm-hmm.
And as you and I had discussed earlier, you know, that you, you know, you had said that this is your mission that you were given, you know, to do. And as I told you, I got your back, you know, your front, your side, whatever you need. I'm right there for you, you know, and all the people that I know that we going to bring on board and just support you 100% to make this journey a true African diaspora and dream come true of a lifetime for the Million Women March. Founder and coordinator, director, and all those other good titles that you deserve to be called.
Well, you know, sister, we had, you know, with one another, we were not only able to build our relationship as sisters, but, you know, the sisters there were feeling us. And as a result, you know, we ended up building our sisterhood with them. In
yeah.
fact, the mayor's wife, one of the villages, the mayor's wife said to us, and you know, we were going to ask this at some point to for the sisters become members or actual, you know, active in the Million Woman Movement. We were going to do that, but before we could even do that, the mayor's wife stepped up and said, "I'm going to be the first member."
Okay, okay. I was like, wow. Did she just ask that question? Yes, by all means you could be a member.
Absolutely.
It was like, wow. Yeah, it's awesome, I'm telling you.
You know, and it, again, it was also wonderful to be able to engage and interact in a diplomatic manner, but then at the same time, to really show and demonstrate what we've been talking about with the Million Woman Movement, and that is that we deal from the grassroots through the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So no matter what level, no matter what area of interest or of activity, that's where we're at, that's where we're going to be.
Yeah.
We do not discriminate in terms of, well, okay, this sister over here, she has a degree, okay, that's fine, love it. This sister over here, you know, she has agricultural skills and she's a farmer in the field, okay, fine, we love it. I mean, it's all the same when it comes down to real sisterhood.
Yeah.
And we were able to demonstrate that. We were able to exhibit that in a way that people knew and understood that we were up on our game in terms of what we were talking about and what we were going to do. But we also were very, very clear in the political struggles of our sisters, of our women and girls, and of our people.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your kind of experience when, for example, we went in the village where the snakes were.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, yes, yes. First, let's talk about how you felt coming off the bus. You were, like, on the bus before we got off, you know, we were on the bus, and we had some little experiences before the python. But once we reached that village, you said to me, "Sister, I feel something here. Something's very strong here." So
right.
When we got off the bus, the young lady who was our, which we'll call her liaison, interpreter, you know, speaking like the English language for us, and she spoke very well, Sister Martina.
Yes.
She actually told us that this village of pythons was ran by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we was like, that's the energy that you felt was the woman. So before that, though, we went into the village. I'm actually jumping the gun here. We went into the village, and they brung out pythons and put them around our necks. So we wore them like jewelry, and they felt so nice next to our skin. It was like, oh, it was so awesome. I wasn't afraid. I didn't fear them. You know, I didn't have that energy at all amongst me. You as well, because you
That's
got them wrapped around you too. And, you know, we went into the little temple where they actually kept the pythons. I asked where there was a statue on the floor of a head. And I asked the young lady who was interpreting for her, Martina, what was the relevance of that head being right there? And she said, oh, that is the woman who was in charge of the pythons. This was her village, and she ran this village. And we were like, wow, that was, you know, we were looking for something coming from women, because this country is like so, you know, king, all the kings are like men. And we knew that there were some great females who had done some great things in this country, and then for them to actually tell us that this woman, you know, ran this village of the pythons, and it was like, wow, you know.
Right. That's right. And the other part that goes to that is, according to the legend or the story, is that, if I remember correctly, there was a war. There was some kind of attack on, you know, one of the villages. And somehow she was able to use the python to scare them off.
Yes.
Okay?
And
that's how all of that began to develop. And
Danny,
when we tell you we walked into a temple of pythons, we're telling you from the little babies to the adults. And this was a maybe like 50 or so.
Yeah.
All up on the ceiling, all, you know, everywhere.
All over the place.
And it's like, you know, these are sacred to this particular group in Benin. This is sacred for them. And they interact with these pythons like you would interact with a pet cat or something.
Yes.
So it was just so many things that we were able to learn and to get a better understanding and appreciation of.
yes.
And on that same note, we also visit the village of the Dahomey people,
yes.
who are still called the Dahomey people.
Yes.
The whole country at one time was called Dahomey, but of course is now called Benin. But
right.
there are still a groups of people who literally still call themselves Dahomey. And of course the Dahomey peoples were known for the women warriors.
Yes.
So we got a chance to literally speak one-on-one with them. And want to tell us about your experience or how you felt in regards to that.
I believe personally that when they had the opportunity to speak with us, they were very happy because they told us that they don't really get a chance a lot of times to even speak because they're not very, you know, smart, or they said they've been kept illiterate, and because they didn't have that opportunity to be otherwise, they were forced to be the way they were, you know. And some of them, you know, really, like, expressed how they really felt about it. And to me it was, like, so heartwarming and heart-wrenching at the same time, you know, to look at my sister. These are the women that are the same complexion as myself, you know, same complexion as yourself, you know, and to listen to them talk, you could really feel their pain and how even they joy all at one time being able to just communicate with another sister that understood how they felt, you know.
Right.
And it was just real awesome to me.
And it was so, you know, just the feeling was so incredible that I'm not ashamed to say I literally cried.
Yes, ma'am.
You
did. It was joy.
Indeed. And with that, you know, they realized how touched we were and how connected we were to them.
Yeah.
And to this whole situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, they assured us as well that they got our backs.
That's right. And it wasn't just young ones. There were, like, old ones. There were some, like, really, really look like they could have been my grandma.
That's right.
And they were strong. They looked strong. You know, they didn't look weak, you know, because we were in that village of the Amazon women. So, you know, they weren't like, you know, they were fighters. They looked like they were fighters and sound like it, too. They range from young girls to older women, you know.
Absolutely. And the one of the things that I found very positive and very reassuring, and that is when we were able to talk with the kings in conveying, for the most part, our interest and concern about the women, most responded in a very positive way in terms of even saying, you know, that they agreed that the women do need to be brought forward, for lack of a better word. And there were a few of the kings that were really, you know, very supportive of that.
Yeah.
So let's also share a little bit about what we're getting ready to do in December, sister.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Our meetings with some of the officials.
Yes. That's going to be, I feel in my heart and soul that this is really going to turn out awesome. It's going to be a great adventure. I'm so excited about, you know, because me, I'm into fashion. So, you know, and the hair thing, you know, I'm into that. And I'm so excited about that seeing that part of it. But as well, us dwelling with the females and getting to their issues and, you know, making sure that our whole, you know, your whole idea and your vision is being, you know, brought to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to get started and jumping on that part of it, that piece of it. But it's going to be, you know, a lot. It's a lot. And I know you already know it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Been there and done that. And, you know, it's just us, like, you know, I told you, you got a whole lot of people that's willing to back you, and you don't have to worry about anything as far as that part, security or anything else goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
it was kind of funny when, and when we say we were on the bus, what happened was the government provided a vehicle, a van-type bus vehicle, so that officials from the cabinet, along with ourselves, with our team, we were all able to be, you know, on the same transportation together.
Right.
And we were escorted, and everywhere that we went, we were escorted. I guess they were police or,
yeah,
I'm not sure,
yeah,
what they were called, but
yeah,
we were always escorted with,
mm-hmm,
two motorcycles in front, mm-hmm, of us. And everywhere that we went, so that where there was traffic, they were able to move the traffic, you know, completely out the way.
Yeah.
And it was funny when we were on one of our first visits to a village. I said to Brother Roger and Brother Rudy, who are part of our international team, they're based in New York. I said to them, I said, "Well, see, you all don't realize that Sister Wanda here is not only my sister, but she's also my security, because she's a, what is it, Sister Wanda, a fourth or fifth black belt?"
The sixth degree black belt. Yes,
oh, I'm
ma'am.
Sorry, excuse me.
That's
sixth,
okay,
degree black belt.
Yes, ma'am.
And so they laughed and they said, "Oh, okay."
Secrets, right?
Yes, indeed. So we were able to really accomplish much. Again, we did, in fact, obtain the support, the endorsement from the local kings. And see, that's very important in Africa, because, see, here, of course, you know, everything is kind of run by the so-called government.
Right.
Well, in Africa, while there's a government that functions, you know, as most governments do,
right,
the role of the traditional kings are extremely important.
Right.
You're not going to get things running smoothly
without,
right, the consent or the, you know, the input of the traditional king.
Right.
And this, too, was something else that I found to be, you know, really wonderful, and that is we were able to see what we needed to see in Benin in this regard, and that is this was a country, or is a country, that has both Islam, not both, but Islam, Christianity, and then the traditional African religions or practices.
Yes,
yet we saw no indication of any type of conflict or, well, you know, I'm a Christian and you're a Muslim and, you know,
right,
this and that.
None of that.
We saw none of that. None of that. And we were amongst people who, as one segment of folk experienced something, you know, everyone participated in and, you know, learned from it and so forth.
Yeah.
And some of these people were not necessarily involved in that tradition.
Right, exactly.
But you would not have really known that.
Right.
You see, what we did find, of course, is that there's a high level of Catholicism there.
Right.
But again, somehow, as we have seen in other countries, they are still able to, and it's just, it's interesting to observe, they're still able to grasp their traditional culture.
Yes, ma'am.
The drum, the dance, and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of dance, of course, as we said, the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble, of course, that is one of the many kinds of things or formations that Sister Wanda and her husband have done. Well, Sister Wanda, of course, is a former dancer of one of the top-notch dance troupes that was here in Philadelphia, which is just gives you a reason why when you see the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble, you will just see such an incredible repertoire of dance and of drum. Well, I can share with you that Sister Wanda also danced a little, because we
and
were
you
in
too.
Fact.
Don't leave yourself out now.
got greeted, I believe, on two occasions with dancing and drumming.
Yes.
You know, by the various village, you know, villages that we attended. There were two, I think, that literally, one was sisters.
Remember
one king that we visit? The greeting was all sisters?
All sisters, yes. That was the first king. That was the very first king that we went. Matter of fact, that's the king where the mayor lives. The mayor and his wife, that village, that was the first, he was the first king that we met. Because remember the mayor, like we pulled over on the side and then he pulled out and that's when we saw the guys in the pink. The military. They called them the military. Oh goodness, their name was right on my tongue and it just slipped off my hand now.
Right.
But they were like almost like a police force themselves, but their security, military security. That's what they were. Yeah, and they were dancing and standing up
on their motorcycle,
almost doing wheelies on their motorcycle. I was so impressed with them. I was like, oh, that is awesome, you know, and I kept taking pictures and everything of those guys. They were tremendous. And then they took us into the village where the king was. So that was the first king that we met, where the sisters were actually playing for us. It was like all sisters.
So now also, speaking of the mayor of that particular location, we were able to have lunch, I guess it was at his office headquarters location.
Yes.
And tell our family about the announcement that was made by the mayor.
Oh, wow, yes. He said that he was going to build whatever it takes for us to house however many people that we needed to, you know, come to do this big international women's issue conference. He said that he would supply whatever was needed.
Indeed. So this is, again, family, why we really want to share with you just the graciousness and the commitment that the people of Benin have in fact extended to us. This is not just some kind of, you know, thing of, again, of just some tourists or some people coming in, you know, whatever. This is not that at all. Believe me when we tell you. We have really began a process here that is going to be ongoing and it's going to assist in generating revenue both in Africa and here in North America, as well as throughout the diaspora, because it's a five-year project.
Yeah.
In 2016, we will hold a major summit for Africana women worldwide and begin to put into motion a Africana Women's Federation.
Yeah.
And that is really, that just gives you a little insight into some of what we are building. Now, what I did get a chance to tell you, Sister Wanda, is I don't know if you know Brother Jomo, who used to be at Ile Ife years ago.
Yes, I know Brother Jomo. Yes.
Well, I saw his wife last night, and we had the opportunity to talk a bit. And in doing so, we talked about the possibility of Sister going to Africa for maybe 2 to 3 months to teach English and math.
Wow. That's a blessing.
So we've already began a process. Now,
yes,
today,
ma'am.
I made a call so that we can talk with Sister Sahara.
Oh, okay.
So that when we are ready to set up our sewing factory,
we
can have someone there for maybe a month.
Yes, ma'am.
To assist in further training and setting up the factory, because she has all of
that.
That would
be really awesome. She would love that, I know.
Yes.
That would be such a blessing.
So within 24 hours,
you're doing it, sis. You're connecting. You are connecting the dots.
Absolutely.
Getting the job done, definitely.
We're going to go to our phone lines now. And let's see. We had someone at Your number is, let's see, your last number is 7347. Do you have a comment or a question for us tonight?
One, can you hear me right now?
Yeah, Brother Robinson, we hear you.
Okay, great. Well, listen, we have the programs tied together correctly. So as the listening audience is listening on my program, because I can speak to you, so they can too.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to tie in just a bit. Now, because, you know, we're in a little late, you went to Benin, is that correct?
Yes,
sir, we did.
And you were accompanied by that great Queen Wanda Dixon, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And you all are the precursor of what is to come. A great number of things were set into motion from your visit. Is that most correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And also, it seems to me, I don't know if it's on the hush-hush or is it to be exposed, but is the Million Women March to be hosted by Benin?
Well, it is, but not in the context of an actual march, at least not yet. Now, anything can happen, my brother. Our focal point initially was to hold sessions to be able to, we have sisters all over the world. Many of them are doing wonderful work, you see. So we have to make certain that we connect some of this realistically and support one another. So we have to provide sessions that allow people to bring in their reports, their proposals, so that as a sisterhood, which is what we are developing, we can then get this information, critique it, and then once we're ready, we will establish our movement as such where the sisters will vote on projects. So for, say, for a year period in time, we will vote collectively. Once we establish our sisterhood, part of what the sisterhood will do is to look at programs and projects that we want to endorse, that we want to expand upon, that we want to help move forward into other areas and so forth and so on. So sisters will have the opportunities. When they become members, they become members of a sisterhood. One that is going to be there to help facilitate the work that they're doing, which is going to be for our people. It doesn't have to be just about women. Some of the work that they have, it's not about just women. It could be about the children, the elders. It could be about health, holistic health. It could be about economic development. It could be about financial development and so forth. So whatever those programs or projects are that our women globally want support in or partnership in or whatever, we'll be able to look at that. And then as a collective determine, well, okay, this year, for this fiscal year, whatever, we're going to support this, 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 or we'll do A, B, and C based on what's submitted. That has never been done before, at least not for grassroots women.
No,
and this is why we're connecting the dots to assure that those sisters who had those little stands on the streets or on the roads anywhere, or the sisters here that are struggling as vendors or merchants or doing something out their home, they don't get support or help beyond a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a business license, or if you are in a business association, or you know something like that, you know there are things that come your way, or that you are aware of, or able to get access to. But that's not happening for a lot of women who are trying to make it in other ways. So we are bringing this together. Those who are business entrepreneurs and may have a store and doing whatever, well, they may still need something, or they may want to contribute something. Or what? The idea is, in whatever way we can support one another, then that's what we're going to do. So to answer your question again, my brother, and I thank you for that, we have to not just have an assembly of gathering. Mm-hmm. It has to be where we can sit down and rock this thing, meaning if we need to debate, if we need to, you know, do critical analysis, if we need to whatever, that's what we're going to do for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And this is the first session. These sessions are going to talk about political prisoners. So while the main focus is about our sisters, especially dealing with specific issues such as education, health, and violence and abuse, of course, we're going to also focus on some of the concerns of our people here, because what we know now more clearly than before is that our brothers and sisters in the continent do not know much about us here.
Right.
And certainly don't know about the struggles.
Right.
They don't know about that stuff. We are assuming that because we know about them, we assume that they know about stuff about us. And I'm here to tell you, from what we've seen, the majority, the masses of the people do not know much of anything about Africans in North America.
That's right.
So they don't know we had
political prisoners. They don't know that. Mm-hmm. We even said that to the cabinet members, to the diplomat.
Man.
When we presented. I told them, I said, we have women and girls on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And I said it that way because when we meet in December, we're going to ask Congresswoman Maxine Waters to join us again and present a report on the government bringing crack cocaine into the black community.
Absolutely.
So we're able to now bring an international scope to our concerns. When we talk about reparations, we're going to show genocide from the past to the present. Because the Benin government, along with a few other governments, have in fact issued formal apologies for whatever role they may have taken in the demise of our people.
Uh-huh.
And so they have programs dealing with reconciliation, and they want to get this burden off of them. They want to get the stain off of them. They want to redeem themselves.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
So they
need to hear what
happened to us, because they don't know the extent of the atrocity.
So if
there's going to be healing, they have to know what has happened to us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see, one of my callers wants to ask you a question.
Sure.
I'm going to go to 7525. Would you like to ask a question to A New Day?
Wow. That was pretty inclusive. I mean, wow. How do you, come in behind
that? Is it possible you could turn your radio down or whatever it is?
Okay.
There you go. All right. Thank you.
I told you that. I told you not to go in. Yeah, I'm actually in a multitasking right now. I'm very thankful for, that input. Where do I come in at? I just think a lot of it too has, these struggles that have been going on. We got with just different people and stuff like that. But it's just really the auspice of men at some point from the beginning of time have to protect, provide, and produce. And that has been a large, a divide in that for reasons that have been systematic or cultural. So you have a lot of these, a lot of great, and pervasive women, but, each nation at some point, it works in tandem with that, is in a protective and a creative process along with that. That has definitely been severed in many different ways, but that just has to be at its most dire point, reinstated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we expressed to the officials there is that this particular mission has been given to the women for a specific reason or for several specific reasons. And it is because, you see, the manifestation of Ma'at in this day and age is very important. When you talk about bringing about solutions or resolutions, you have to realize, how is that going to happen? By what mechanisms is that going to literally occur? You see, so we can talk all day and night about what needs to happen or what did happen, but to discuss the methodology or the science or the mathematical application of dealing with solutions, that is an area that we have been remiss. So in this day and age, we are able to assert that if there's going to be a change that needs to occur that brings about the liberation and justice and freedom for all of our people, we must achieve some form of balance, because we have become so unbalanced as a people. In addition to all these other things that are going on with us, we become so imbalanced. And it has happened to the degree that is really bringing about the demise of us all, but some of this can be resolved when we uplift our women. Because as it has been stated by many wise people, a nation can rise no higher than its woman. You see, any wise person knows this. So we can continue to hallucinate and think that there's this issue or problem with us in terms of male, female, or whatever. I mean, there is, but it is more readily or easily resolved than we think. Once we get out of this European context of thought and begin to deal with some other ideas that is more relevant and more practical for us, before all this indoctrination sinked in, on both parties, of course, but you have to see and know that there is a terrible imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is becoming injurious to all of us as a people. If the woman is not brought forward, I am almost absolutely certain we are all going to fall. Because this has gone on too long. Nature is showing us every day. We're given these messages every day. So what I'm saying is not for women or for our girls. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is, whenever you have a depletion of something or whenever you have something that is lacking, you had better deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a deficiency of vitamin A, you better deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't nothing to be playing with. You see, and so there's a deficiency in our movement and in our development as a people. We put a lot of emphasis on general issues. We put a lot of emphasis on the children, on the youth. And without saying it, we put a lot of emphasis on our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what mothers do. We care about all of our children,
mm-hmm.
no matter how old they are.
Mm-hmm. True.
All right. Listen, those are really great comments. I'm going to ask my listening audience by depressing one, is there anyone who has a specific question that they would like to ask? And that way we can go right to it. You know, I'm really dealing with the technology of linking these programs together, and it's a wonderful experience. And
yes,
we have a couple of people who have lit up the light. So let me let 9302 ask their question, since they were the first to press. Okay, 9302, put your specific question to Empress Filet on a new day.
Okay, how do I get involved? I want to be a part of this.
Oh, Susan, give thanks, give thanks. We would love to have you, and you. But you saying that you already a part.
Yes.
but just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. We are formulating a team.
N-W-M?
Yes, as in Million Woman Movement. mwm@aol.com. Okay?
All right.
And I'm going to give you a telephone number as well, but it's best to do the email because that way we can lock you right in on our system and you can, you know, you'll get continual updates and postings and so forth.
Okay.
Okay.
And the number?
You, the number is area code 267-636-3802.
Okay. You know,
okay.
I spoke before, I'm a victim of domestic terrorism and torture here in the United States. Under the military and government, I receive harassment since June 15th of 2009, and 24/7. This is an ongoing thing wherever I go, anywhere. And I have a housekeeping service, and even the homes that I go into, I am perped or harassed. It's very subtle, but I know what's happening. And I have always, if someone said to me, how did they select you? Why did they pick you? And I said, I don't know. I said, I was always one, wherever I lived, I always wanted to up the ante. I lived in a HUD development before I bought my home.
Yeah, hold on right there, because her program is definitely scheduled, and you have her contact information. I'm going to ask her to give it again, and then we're going to move on, because this program, unlike the Legacy of the Nation, we let you kind of go on and on, but we can't do that on her particular broadcast, because she does have a lot of issues to cover, plus the listening audience that's already there. All right, so keep your question or comment very brief, and we're going to let you in, and she'll give her contact information again. All right?
Okay.
So,
and let me say
your
this
contact
to
information
also.
Again, please.
Yes, let me say this also to the sister, just so you know, she'll know that we really want to hear what you're saying, and that's why these forums are going to occur, so that testimonies can be provided, so that this stuff can get documented.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will get a listing of the committees. And if you want to work on the committee that will help to coordinate our sisters being able to give presentations of various types of government, terrorism, and so forth, then that would be a wonderful, you know, whatever support, whatever help our sisters can give in making these sessions as powerful and on point as possible. This is what we need. So, again, the email address is nationalmwm@aol.com, and the telephone number is area code 267-636-3802. Please contact us, give us your information, and we will definitely address any concern and issue that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for that information. And remember, please keep it brief, very brief, 8233, question or comment directly to Empress Filet and the program A New Day.
Honorable Empress Filet, I am so grateful that you're there. And I was just mentioning the other day of what an experience it was to be at the Million Woman March. There were so many spiritual variables that took place and sisters interconnecting and talking as though we knew each other forever. I will never forget that. And I'm so grateful because my mom had even seen me, and she was in Florida. I didn't know it was broadcast nationally. So I have that in my heart and soul, and I a picture of myself that a photographer, a professional photographer, took of me, and that picture was in my hands that Monday. So,
wow.
I mean, these dynamic, yes, yes, yes. And then I told them how this high executive from Xerox, female, I had my little respect flyers. And I only have one left. I didn't know she was an executive of Xerox. She made 500 copies and mailed those to me before the week was out. So, I mean, there was just so much connection, and I just humbly am grateful. I'm still flying high about that. And I want to add what the sister was talking about. Domestic terrorism is really also, and they'll find that not only the satellites, they're utilizing the very overhead and underground cables, transmission cables of electricity, gas lines, the natural gas lines, all the pipelines across our nation are connected. The water pipelines, which are all exploding. I don't know if you heard what had happened in Philly at near Broad and Spruce the other day. And when it's done to Caucasians, they're able to get lawsuits in. When it was done in the PHA house last year, they had to sit out in the street in the dark. And I don't think anyone ever went to their aid of getting a class action. Well, and these Caucasians, they were able to go to a hotel.
Right.
Let me say this, if I may. First of all, as we indicated, I haven't been able to really kind of catch up on what has happened in the past few days here because we just got back yesterday. So we're kind of like getting briefed on some of the various things that have happened, including the various murders. I've already started getting reports of sisters being murdered already. I haven't been back in 24 hours, and I'm getting those reports from other cities. But what I want to say is this. See, we know, as you probably know, I do a lot of research, and we have been aware of various things for the past 15 years plus. The problem is we keep getting this information and we become very aware of various things, but I have been attempting for 15 years to get sisters to unite, to come together, and to become proactive in this work. So I'm going to make that call again because next year is our 16-year anniversary. So I'm saying that to say we now have a tool to fight with. We know what some of the problems are, but one of the other problems is that we couldn't get the sisters to come together to literally do the work that we needed to do to win these victories. So this is where we're at now. For all the conversations that are being had, we now have to see sisters step forward and take assignments. And that's
right.
What it's now about.
Okay. And we're going to go for one more second to 4309. Make your comment quick, and then we are going to let them continue on with their planning and programming, and we'll come back over to the Legacy of a Nation where you can discuss what's happening and what's on your mind. So, 4309.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Much love, much respect, my queen of all queens. How are you, sisters, doing?
Oh,
fine, thank you.
Very good, very good. I'm glad that some sisters from the Philadelphia area went to the Mother Continent because before the Legacy of Nation came on, before we went to you, we were discussing the very same issues as it relates to the continent of Africa and in the Americas, that the women, if you lay the map of the world, are being brutalized and assaulted and mistreated so much so that we have put a term in the Legacy of a Nation called infratricide. And that's an internal thing. No matter what the Europeans have done, we're noticing that across the board of the continent of Africa and in the Americas, it's the men who, whatever the European or the Caucasian has done, due to post-traumatic independence syndrome, the men are taking their hardship, their crisis and state of emergency out on the women and the children and even the old folks. So I'm finding that to be one of the greatest genocidal practices that we internally are going to have to reverse. So I'm very, very glad that I am in tune with you, my sister, because this is so, so very important, this women's movement as it relates to the second-class citizenship of the women, the third-class citizenship of the children, and the fourth-class citizenship of our elders. This is is appalling and reprehensible, and the women are going to have to take leadership on this. So much love and much respect.
All right. Thank you.
I certainly thank you. And just so folks will know, we have extended our program for tonight. We will be on until 12:30 tonight. We are going to go an hour over, or extend it for half an hour. I mean, not an hour over, half an hour. And again, thank you, brother. And know that our brothers are, you know, they're our, without our brothers, we could not do what we're doing in the way that it needs to be done, you see. And so I have to continue to stress that, because we have to make sure people don't try to misrepresent what we're saying and what we're doing.
Right.
It just comes a time when, you know, things are mandated. You know, it's almost like everybody gets a turn in life. Well, for right now, for this period in time, it has been ordained that the women must do some specific things. See, the reality is, when you're dealing in international worlds, for women to say, we are concerned about the health of our people, we're concerned about the women and the girls of our nation, we're concerned about what is happening in this area. For women to say that, it is less threatening.
Mm-hmm.
For a man to say it, and he's representing his country or his tribe, as they call it, or his clan or whatever, another group would look at that man saying certain things and maybe not, you know, want to engage in it because he represents another a tribe or another clan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the woman can say certain things and kind of cross some of these barriers because this is mother. And therefore, when you are addressing certain issues, it kind of takes some of the sting away from it because men are, you know, viewed and deemed as being aggressors and and always having some other agendas. But see, when women represent as mothers, there is no other agenda. And again, most experienced people and wise people, they understand that. So for us to go forward in representing our people as the mother, we are able to sit down and do that without people feeling threatened, or they feel less threatened, let's put it that way.
Right.
You understand? So it's very strategic, and it's also apropos. It's on point. Now, to go back, if I may, for a few moments for what the other two sisters were saying, one of the things that we are building in our Black Women's Defense League is to start training our sisters. Sister Wanda here, as you heard, is a sixth-degree black belt. Now, what Brother Rob, her wonderful husband, and Sister Wanda have already talked about in supporting the Million Woman Movement, the International Million Woman Movement, is to start bringing together some of our black martial artists.
Mm-hmm.
So that in support of this activity, of this gathering, the black martial artists nationwide will be coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But what this also does is allow us to begin to formulate our own security teams, not only for this trip coming up, but for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So sisters will have the ability to be able to get training, and not just physical training. There's mental training.
Right.
One of the things that will be accomplished when we go to Benin is for those folks who are studying, if you are studying African religion, if you are studying African history or anthropology, there will be special sessions for you where you can sit with traditional healers and spiritual leaders so that whatever you're trying to pursue in either your personal or professional training in those areas, you'll be able to sit in sessions that can give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for, again, religious folk or spiritual folk, as well as folks who are striving to be natural healers. We have already established that we have a group of women who are going to work with us with midwifery, natural birth, We have a sister Martinez, who was one of the sisters who was so wonderful in interpreting for us. She is also a healer. So she says she knows hundreds of healers. So for those brothers and sisters here who want to learn more about the art of healing from an African perspective, they need to make this trip because they'll be able to meet and sit with African healers. So we're talking about, of course, again, our primary focus for this journey is our women and girls, but it also encompasses any of our people who are serious to sit, interact, exchange, grow, develop, and so forth. And again, the area of health, medicine, natural medicine and healing, and spiritual religious development. These are some of the areas. So again, when the martial artists come together, know that martial arts is not just physical. It's not just physical. You see, you will learn healing things. You will learn mental things. You will learn and understand better disciplinary things. And see, Sister Wanda can tell you, when we went, we knew that we had to discipline ourselves.
Right.
Because, and this will also be a training process for our people, we are hoping that you will go because we want to take roughly a minimum of 1,500 people. From North America, we want to take a minimum of 1,500 people to Benin for our first trip. And so we have to prepare you for that because unless you've been to Africa before, you might not understand some things that you need to understand.
Right.
You see. And so we had to discipline ourselves because, we're vegetarians.
Right.
But most of the locations in Africa are heavy meat locations.
Right.
In talking with the women, though, about health, I indicated to them that I asked would they be interested in learning more about health and nutrition. And they said yes.
Yes, ma'am.
You see, because they don't have that information.
Right.
So these are some of the things that we are talking about accomplishing, even at this juncture, at this point. And it's really incredible to begin to do this work, even at our first stages. It's wonderful. So, Brother Ram, so we thank you. We thank your callers. And if you do have time and you would like, we can still engage in one or two more questions or comments.
All right. Well, one of the things I would like for you to do is give out the information to how callers can connect to your chat line, so they can clue in, because I know that they can link into your program through the chat room and still participate in both programs.
Okay, very good. I did not open up the chat line, but I can. But I can tell you if you want to call in at any time, you can do that also, although you don't need to. But I'm going to open up the chat room in a few minutes for you. We are at www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi, and that's EmpressChi. We want all of you to also know that if you are a designer, for lack of a better word, or well, I'm just going to say a creative person that works with fabric or that works with jewelry, we will be doing an international fashion and accessory showcase in Benin, featuring Benin designers, but they'll be coming from, you'll be able to put your work in from all over the country. The same for those who do natural hair, because we are seeing too much in Africa, women are starting to wear wigs. And we want to promote that, because, see, they don't see the kind of hair designing that our sisters and brothers do here in the States. They don't see that. When they see some of what our brothers and sisters are doing with hair, natural hair, ooh, it's going to knock them off their feet.
Right.
So
well,
if anyone out is listening that would like to be involved in that, let us know. We're going to need, if those who are doing travel agents, we're going to need that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need chaperones. So
mm-hmm.
we have to formulate these committees within the next couple of weeks on a national level. So we invite all of you. There's something that everyone can help do to help. And, again, we're going to work on raising funds to help sponsor some of, you know, some of the people, but definitely our teams.
Yes,
ma'am. Well, we definitely want to thank you for sharing this time with us. I am working with the Temple of the Black Messiah. June 16th is the Juneteenth program. And for those of you who would like to attend, it is at the Shanghai Cultural Center starting at 6 o'clock, June 16th. And if you would like to get your raffle tickets, come down and see me at 1609 Cecil B. Moore, where you can get your raffle tickets. Only a dollar for a $100 chance. All right, and the second prize is $50. Empress, we appreciate you taking the time, letting us into your program, and please continue the absolute marvelous work. And Sister Wanda.
Yes, sir.
I can't forget you and the work and the super work that you all do.
Well,
every time
thanks.
I hear your name, I sing praises.
Thanks for the Ramasus.
All right.
Thanks always.
Okay,
thanks, my brother.
We have opened up the chat room for those who would like to join us there. You certainly feel free to do so. Again, we're at www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi, and our show will be continuing for another half an hour, so we welcome you to continue to stay with us.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we certainly thank you.
And thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, family, again, we remind you, if you have a comment or a question for us tonight, please feel free to give us a call here at area code 646-652-2232. Again, 646-652-2232. For those who, again, I can't stress this enough, if you deal in any area of education, but particularly technology, language, and, of course, health. These are some of the areas that we want to begin immediately to help provide for the women in Benin. We've already connected to a sister who has already started a center for women there. She has access to 500 women. We have been asked that when we come to bring certain items, and very soon we will have a list of those items for you so that even if you can't attend the event, the activity in December, perhaps you will at least consider sending an item. And,
right.
Again, we're going to give you a listing of those items because a lot of times people say, well, send books or send clothing or whatever. Well, we will have a specific listing of things that we would like for you to do, because I'm going to be very honest and say, even though, you know, many of the villages may need clothing items, I'm going to really ask that our sisters be a bit more cognizant of the fact that we're not trying to push America.
Right.
So I'm going to really ask the sisters to contribute garments that, you know, still have more of a cultural kind of flavor to them.
Right.
As opposed to some jeans and some, you know, halter tops
right.
and, you
right.
know, some booty
right.
huggers or some stuff like that. You know, you know, we're not trying to push. I mean, again, we appreciate, you know, any donation, any contribution of items. But, again, we have to be responsible and a little more conscious in what we do, and we're going to.
Yes.
We're going to. Okay. So I just wanted to put that out to everyone. Again, if anyone has a question or comment, please push number one. If those of you who are online now, again, if you have a question or comment, you can either go to the chat room now if you wish, or you can call us at area code 646-652-2232. Okay, moving right along, Sister Wanda, we have joined with us, as I indicated earlier, for those of you who may just tuned in a little while ago, we have Sister Wanda Dickerson joining us tonight, and she, of course, is the co-founder, along with her husband, Brother Rob Dickerson, of the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble. Sister Wanda will be serving as one of our arts and culture development coordinators. And so, again, for those of you, especially sisters, there's a special component that's being developed for sisters to present their work. So if you are a dancer, a singer, a poet, spoken word artist, a dramatist, what have you, very soon we will be able to give you a number where you can contact a coordinator and begin to send your information to be considered for presenting at this major, major activity. Our African Journey, the Million Women Movement, is in fact on the move and establishing the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent worldwide.
Man.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sister Wanda, let's share a little more about some of what happened while we were in our homeland.
Well,
of course, you've been to Africa several times. I've been to Africa. But this was special. This, I mean, it's always special, but,
mm-hmm.
Well, I feel comfortable in sharing with our family that the government of Benin representatives made a special announcement. Was it our last night?
Yeah.
When we were able to be, you know, greeted with the dancers and all. We had traditional dancing and drumming and a dinner that was provided for us by one of the cabinet ministers.
Cabinet ministry.
And there was a special announcement made that evening. Sister Wanda, would you like to share that special announcement?
You mean the announcement that was made when you was drumming and dancing? I had to put that out there to let people know I wasn't dancing by myself. You did join me. I wasn't going up there unless you did. That is when they told us that we would be awarded citizenship for Benin.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was an awesome moment. Ow, I said, voila! You know, you learn those little words in French. You know, I said in 2 years I'm going to be speaking French just like everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah, that was so awesome. Tell you, nothing like it. Matter of fact, I can't remember the official that her name. I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name. The one who shared the story with us about her going to Alabama. And she said that she was amongst people who she felt were like her family members. She said even though they were people from many different parts of the continent and in all the world, she said she just felt like she was so at home. And at that moment, we reminded her of that moment that she spent there. And she was so touched by it that, you know, she actually said we are their sisters.
Yeah.
And that was awesome too, you know. So things like that, we can share that with your listening audience and everything, but to actually be there and feel that energy and that spirit that was in that room at that moment is like awesome. It's so awesome. But, you know, you and I can share it verbally, but physically being there is just wow. I'm still realming from it, you know.
You know, and it's important that we add that I don't believe that was planned, meaning for them to offer award of citizenship, that's not something that I feel was planned. What happened was we were having dinner, and it was just very spirited. You know, everyone was enjoying themselves, and then Sister Wanda blackmailed me. She blackmailed me because Wanda didn't mention that she had bust out in a dance like early on, like 2-3 days prior, early on, right? She bust out, started dancing, and they started dancing. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, they realized, okay, these really are Africans, aren't they? You know, these
okay.
are some American people. These are African sisters, because
okay.
Sister Wanda was, you know, doing the dances, right?
Okay.
So I was chilling. I was cool. So when we were having dinner, I mean, they really, you know, had an elaborate decor and
yeah.
just the whole setting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, was traditional dancers and drummers. The type of music was called, I believe, kita. Kita was
yeah.
the type of music, which is traditional
yeah.
music for Benin. And so the dancers and the drummers were there. And so we were sitting, and unfortunately the representative that was supposed to meet with us for that evening was already tied up in meetings, because as I learned when I came back, Sister Wanda, the AU were just ending their meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that. So he was. That's
yeah.
probably what was going on with all of that, because they
yeah.
just held, you know, some of their sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, so you know, we all decided that we would still just, you know, eat, enjoy ourselves, talk, and so forth. So the drumming was really, you know, just fantastic, and they were, you know, doing the traditional dance. So of course, it's the Wanda wanted to dance, right? And the people wanted her to dance. So she figured, okay, see, I know what to do. I'm gonna blackmail Empress, and I'm gonna say, well, if Empress don't dance or don't get up, I'm not getting up. So
okay.
of course, the people already saw her, and they wanted to see her dance again. So here she holding me hostage.
Okay, we in this together, sis.
So I said, okay, I want to drum, though, because I was
all
here,
right.
I was feeling
so
the
go
drum.
Drum.
So,
mm-hmm.
so I said, I want to drum. So
mm-hmm.
we got up, and, you know, they allowed me to, you know, to join the group and start drumming. And,
yes.
and that, you know, that was incredible, because I
yeah.
never really you know, play that type of drum, but because
right.
I had drummed before, I knew, you know, that I could play that
right.
type of drum. It was just a question of learning where the certain areas were for my tones.
Right.
It kind of took me a minute to get, but
right.
other than that, I knew I could hold a rhythm.
And you blended well to me. Sounded good.
Yeah. So, after we drummed a little, Sister Wanda danced, and so at some point I figured, well, okay, we might as well go ahead and let folks know that, you know, this really is, they really are dealing with two African sisters all
okay.
the way.
Okay.
So at that point I decided to join in the dance.
Okay. Not joining, you broke loose. Them drums was carrying your spirit. You broke loose. Everybody was on the floor looking at you. They was like, whoa! They was going off. They was like, oh, my goodness. These are really our sisters.
Right. That's right. So it was so shocking, because up to that point, I kind of, you know, just kind of stayed in the mode of representing and, you know,
mm-hmm.
dealing with certain things. But at
mm-hmm.
that point, it was, okay.
Here I go. This is me.
Yep, that's right. This
I'm
is my
feeling
other
the
half.
Spirit.
That's right. So they were so, like, just connected and so happy, you know, to
mm-hmm.
see that we were down to earth, for lack of a better
yeah.
word. That's what it really was. They saw
yeah.
that even though we were in a diplomatic, you know, official capacity,
right.
they also saw that we sisters.
Right, right? Exactly. Exactly.
And once they saw that, it's like a whole other thing clicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And an official, this sister is the, I forget her title, but, you know,
yeah.
she high ranked it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if she talked with, you know, some of the other officials or whatever, apparently that she did, because they were in absolute complete agreement, and she
yeah.
made the announcement, and then they, you know, started applauding, and
yeah.
at first we didn't know what she was saying, because she was speaking in French, and then
French,
the interpreter
right.
did. Okay, are y'all ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, yeah. And so he said, she just said that the government is going to award you and Sister Wanda citizenship of Benin.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, my gosh. Because we had said that early on, that we was coming to get citizenship. We didn't know it was going to happen then.
Exactly.
But we let them know that we were coming to be citizens, you know, to be a part of things and land.
Yeah.
We weren't come to just, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. We had come with plans to really, you know, dig in.
That's right. Put some foundation down, firm foundation.
That's right. So family, that's sort of, that gives you some briefing of what we were able to do. Needless to say that the Benin government officials gave us full, not only support, but full indication of accommodating what we need and what we were requesting. They were more than happy to step up and take this role because they understood and see clearly that it is indeed going to be very historical. Once you reach a certain area in Cotonou, you are roughly 15 minutes away from Nigeria and 15 minutes away from, was it Togo?
Yes.
I think you're Togo. And then not too much further away was, it just escaped me. There's another country that was also, you know,
yeah,
relatively close
by
as well.
Yeah, I know that. I can't think of it.
Right. Burkina Faso, I think. So, you know, again, we will be able to bring our sisters together really very readily in terms of not just Benin, where there are 5 million females.
The
country was what, 7 million?
7.5.
7.5 million. And 5 million is sisters.
Right. And I'm sorry, not 7.2 million. It's 7.2 million is their population, and 5 million of it is sisters.
Right. So needless to say, we know that while, you know, what Brother Robinson was saying, Million Women March, that's not our intention to do a march per se, but guess what? We certainly will more than likely at least have, from a participational standpoint, a couple of million. Sisters.
Right, yes, ma'am.
You know, and that's just in Benin.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say, since we're so close to Nigeria and so close to Togo, that means that sisters from those countries will be able to come very easily.
Right.
To join us.
Exactly. And, you know, it was something else interesting that I wanted to share with you, Empress. When we went to the Door of No Return in Benin, the atmosphere which they have there, it's like I've been to a couple of Doors of No Return, like such as in Ghana at the Cape Coast, and the one in Senegal, Gori Island. All of those Doors of No Return were like enclosed. You know what I mean? Like inside of another building, you had to go inside that building and then walk through to get to the Door of No Return. And it was just like a door, actual door leading out to the ocean. But in Benin, what I found so awesome was the whole entire atmosphere was open. When you first walk in, like, you know, in there, it's like you walk on red dirt, like sand, red clay. And then when you walk up the steps and then walk through what they call the Door of No Return, everything is, like, open. You can see the ocean in the background. You can see, it was just the spirit there is just so awesome. And I believe in my heart and soul that the concert that's going to be held there is going to truly, truly be a spiritual reconnection for all those people who come and be a part of it.
No doubt. No doubt, because that is a part of what we're talking about, and that is to help bring about some healing.
Yes, ma'am.
And so we're going to be right at the ocean, right there at the ocean.
Right at
the
door.
Because the doors are returning as you walk through it. I mean, it's this kind of monument thing, but at the same time, you are right on the soil and right at the river, and you can walk right there.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's going to be extremely powerful. And again, the Benin government has agreed to televise this.
Worldwide.
That's right. So for those of you who are not able to attend, you will be able to see it and to, you know, share, you know, this wonderful, wonderful activity.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we will have partners. There will be a publication that we'll be putting out for this. So for those businesses who want to advertise with us to be a part of this historical activity, you will have the opportunity to do so, to be a part of the documentation of this work that we are doing. We invite all of you to join us. So it's going to be on and popping, as they say.
Yes. And Queen, I just want to let you know, Empress, that while I'm talking to you, I'm on my cordless phone, and it's making this beeping sound. So if we, in the event that we get disconnected, we're still connected. Always know that.
All right. Well, you know I know that. Listen, before you go, sister, we have to share that we went down into the earth.
Yes.
Where a village used to, that's how they used to live.
Yes.
You see. So we have shared pythons together.
Yes,
we have
ma'am.
Shared going into a village, which was a Vudum village.
Yes, ma'am.
Where the people used to literally have their home in the ground.
Yes, ma'am. And we actually went down in the ground. We forgot to talk about that.
Right. Oh, and I forgot to talk about our boat ride.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, sis. Yes. The home where people actually, their homes are actually on the water, built on stilts.
Right.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Right. And not 10 or 20 or even 30, but I was trying to count them.
Oh, man, you lose count of so many of them.
Right. That's right. We're talking about homes that literally on the, was that a river or a lake?
That was a lake.
A lake, okay. Well, the bottom line is that they were off of the water.
I'm sorry. I apologize. It could be a river because it was so big.
Yeah, I think it was a river because when I looked out further, there was land on the other side.
Yeah.
In such a way that it just looked more like a river. But
right,
the bottom line
is
that the houses were trying to estimate how many feet from the
actual water
up in the air.
Right, exactly. That was the awesome part, yes.
And you saw the people, the way, of course, that they were able to get from one location to the other.
Yeah.
Even inside of the village, everybody had their boats.
Yeah.
The market was on the water.
I mean, there were like all ages rowing boats.
Right. And then it took us a half an hour to get to the hotel and the marketplace sort of that was also right there. You know, we were able to purchase items there and meet with the sister that operates that facility.
Yes. And she lived there. That was so awesome, too, you know?
Absolutely.
The whole trip was just, tremendous.
And I guess last, because we really almost are out of time, Sister Wanda.
Yes, ma'am.
12:19 or 12:20. We only have 10 more minutes left, right.
Okay.
So I guess with that, we want to, I guess, wind it up with indicating that we were given some very beautiful gifts.
Yes, ma'am.
And with that, I don't know, many of you may be familiar with You know, we have to find out what the name of that is, the piece that the king used when you see them giving a blessing. It looks like it's made out of, it's not horse hair. It might
be
goat. What?
I think it might be goat. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
It's boa. It's called a boa.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
We were both given one of those and a traditional king's crown.
Yes, ma'am. And the cloth.
That's right, and we were given cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, and I was looking at the site, too. I love the pictures you posted with you and I under the tree where the auction for the slave block was being held. Wow.
Right.
And
right.
Also you have us in the meeting at the table. That's awesome, too.
Yep. And then one of the art pieces is one of the art pieces that was in the museum.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's there.
Yes, I
mm-hmm.
see that, too. You got it going on, sis. I see you working, 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 working. Good thanks
right,
always,
so,
you know.
Absolutely. So for those who can go to the site, if you're not there, our blog site, you will see some photos there from our trip. And again, if you send us your email address, we will also send you some additional photos to share with you. We'd be more than happy to do so. Well, family, we are down to our last few moments. And again, thank you so very, very much for tuning in. And if you have any questions or comments in the near future, we certainly welcome you to send those forward to us. Again, our email address is nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also forward it to officialmwm@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to communicate with us via telephone, you can do that by calling area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Sister Wanda, you have some closing comments for us tonight.
I give thanks to our Creator, to our ancestors, to our elders who are amongst us here now. We thank you all, you know, our brothers, our sisters here abroad, our sisters here in America and all around the world. We are just crying out to all of our women of African descent to move forward, to stand up, and let's deal with these issues that our women are continuously having to deal with, and we put it all in our Creator's hands to guide us and lead us in the proper and righteous direction. Much love and respect to you, Queen Empress, for your journey, for your struggles, for all of your undying devotion to the Million Women Movement. May it long live, may it continue, and may you be blessed to see your dream come true.
Well, sister, I mean, I'm seeing it come true.
I thank you.
And as you know, when we started on the journey, I said specifically there were certain things that I wanted to do, to get done, to happen. A few of them I thought would happen, you know, as we proceeded, because we'll be going back, in July.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I figured it was a process and, you know, certain things would evolve. But as it turns out, you know, most of what I said happened this very first trip.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, the manifestation. Oh, finally, we forgot to mention that one of the prime ministers, once realizing that we were coming to stay, you know, meaning this was going to be one of our homes for real.
Right,
and
right.
So he indicated that he had a home, and
yes.
Next to his home was some property.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes.
Yep. And that I need to build my house on that property.
Okay.
Or can build my house on that property.
Okay. In the dirt.
That's right. That's right. So this is the type of welcoming and the type of warm reception that we have been able to obtain. And it is because I strongly feel that the mission is indeed so powerful that, you know, they recognize that we are serious and sincere.
Yes,
and as a result, we've been able to obtain the things that we need to obtain.
Yes.
Family, I thank all of you again for sharing this show with us tonight, this experience, allowing us to share some of our experiences with you. And know that with the work that we are now doing, this is about the embetterment and the holistic healing and advancement, et cetera, for all of us as a people.
Yes.
Our primary interest, as we say at this point, of course, is to make certain that our sisters are no longer inflicted with the types of things that are being forced upon them worldwide.
Yes.
But with that said, it is also to make certain that our people truly obtain true power, prosperity, and peace. With that said, we're going to leave you tonight with a commentary from one of our brothers, who, of course, is a political prisoner, and we're talking about none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yes,
my
yes.
sisters, thank you so much. And Aluta Continua. And onward we shall now go.
I say. All right, peace.
Peace to you.
Path of peace, the journey of Jamal Joseph. Public review. If one is high school age in America, the story of the Black Panther Party, one of the most significant black radical organizations of the mid-20th century, is virtually unknown. Few teachers dare to teach it, burdened as they all are to the repressive, politically driven testing frenzy that ensures teachers stick only to the test amid fears of the consequences of failure. If teachers want to teach this powerful period, they need look no further than Jamal Joseph's new autobiography, Panther Baby, A Life of Reinvention and Rebellion. Jamal Joseph was a member of the New York chapter of the Black Panther Party, but a member with a difference. At 15, he was still in high school, and thus the youngest member in the state. Thankfully, he writes with the head of a teenager, explaining his choices as they are presented to him. Why did he join the party? Why not other such groups? What did his foster grandparents, who though they were old Garveyites, think of his joining? That story is as funny as it is tender. For these parents, though not his blood, loved him truly and worried about a boy his age running around with Black Panthers, people frankly regarded as crazy. Jamal's story is one of social movements that, at their height, lifts all to new levels of possibility. But like a wave, it can wash away, leaving the one time in mud. Throughout this cycle of love and betrayal, Joseph finds his best self and arises from the mud to find the life of service and redemption. Panther Baby is a touching, beautiful, and transformative tale. May it reach as many young people as possible. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hammerhead of Prison Radio.
And until the next time, remember.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up.